Our reading from Acts of the Apostles marks a shift in the development of the early church. Up until this point, we have seen a sort of unprecedented and unstoppable increase in the number of people beginning to be a member of the church, giving their lives to Jesus in faith. Thousands upon thousands of people almost every day being baptized into the church family. And we see this increase and we witness all the many different reasons, the factors that have led to such numerical growth in the early church. Partly, of course, the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and this new kingdom. The alleviation of poverty, signs and wonders of healing, challenges to the culture and to the powers of the world. All of these things, when done, brings an increase numerically to the early church. And then we get to this story, where having sort of created a new policy in terms of managing this growth by appointing Stephen and the many others as deacons, distributing out the roles and the jobs so that people can continue the ministry that they feel called to, the multiplication of that ministry, the multiplication of the Spirit, equipping the people so that we can grow more as the church. Suddenly we see Peter and John going to Samaria to minister in the ways that they have been called to proclaim the word, to teach, and to pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on these new disciples in Samaria. Then the next phase of the growth up until this point has been a Jerusalem focus, and now it's stretching out to Samaria as the Spirit and Jesus called them to do, to go out to from Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the world. We are seeing this growth and this movement of Christ's church. So what is the shift? What is the shift that we see here? Up until this point, we do not see the church in any way putting any sort of barriers or borders or boundaries up to people joining the church. If there is a desire and they say the right words, the people are joined. The people begin their walk of faith. We don't get any sense in which there was discernments. I'm sure there was, but we don't hear about it. We just have thousands upon thousands of people, hundreds of people, joining each day. Yet today, we have Peter putting a block on someone, disciplining someone, saying, "I don't think you're ready for this." It sort of might seem, in the world where we are desperate to welcome people into the church, and rightly so, might seem strange to have Peter sort of stopping someone or advising someone that this might not be for them. Sort of counterintuitive, surely. Because surely we want everyone to be a part of the church. Surely we want to see more growth, continued growth. Surely that is what the Lord desires for his people. That all people are invited into a relationship with Jesus. Surely everyone is invited to participate in the life of the kingdom of God. So why is it that Peter is saying to Simon, "No, you need to pray to God that he's not going to punish you. No, this is not how you enter in to the church." But it is important. When I was exploring Acom as a potential first post, the place to serve my curacy, I met with the Bishop of Selby at the time. And he sat me down, and in our conversation, he asked an important question. "Ned, how many people have you brought to faith?" It's a common question. It is a, a right question, to sense in which how much am I engaged and participating in evangelism, in bringing new people into a relationship with Jesus? How much is my ministry impacting people and bringing them to faith, bringing them into the kingdom of God? Maybe some of us, more cynical, might even see through it as, how many people are you adding to our market share, and how much are we bringing in terms of finances? Because we all know new disciples bring in lots of money. So, you know, you might be thinking that's what the question is. I'm unsure, but I've been asked it many times. Ned, how many times have you brought someone to faith? At the time, I was young and I kind of fumbled an answer, but it remains my principle and my policy when asked that question to respond with another question. What do you mean by bringing someone to faith? What is it that you are looking for? Is it that you are looking for numerical growth? How much have I been involved in numerical growth, one-to-one, bringing people in who've not been Christians to professing to be a Christian and to give their commitment to sign on the dotted line their trust and belief in Jesus Christ? If that's the case, then I do not know. If you're talking about bringing people into an awareness of faith, to grow them, to impact their faith, that my ministry has impacted people and brought a change and a transformation to them, then my answer is, I've lost count. If the first is the point of that question, then as a person who is suspicious of data or unexplored data, Michelle, listen up, then I would also want to count how many people that I've not done it to, that I've tried and failed, and that would be overwhelming and disappointing and upsetting. So I don't keep count of how many people have changed their decisions because of me, nor do I even ask, because it's not really my business. I'm not being called to change people's opinion. I've been called to proclaim the good news and to make disciples. I will pay attention to those things. How many times have I tried? How many times have I witnessed to someone? I have genuinely lost count. How many times have I had a conversation with someone where I've had what might be called a light bulb moment for them, where they've suddenly understood? Most of those people are people who've come to church regularly, who've already made a commitment to God, but something that I've said or something that I lead them to understand is new for them, and suddenly their faith comes alive. It's a wonderful moment, but again, I've lost count. That doesn't mean that I'm, you know, amazing at it, that I do it so often that I've lost count. It's just that I don't prioritize counting. I don't mark them off, notches on the bedpost, as it were. We can sometimes hear the language of growth and think that that is what is meant. Here at St. Peter's, we have a vision to be loving, witnessing, and growing people. And sure, in part, I think we mean we want to grow as a people, numerically, the number of people. I do hope that that is on our hearts. But that's not solely it. I also hope that we also mean that that we grow in faith and in discipleship, that we grow in our impact on our community. In order to grow in that impact, yeah, sure, we need more hands and feet. And so we long for people to come and give their life to Jesus. But we can so often hear this numerical growth language and feel like we need more people in the church. That if we do not add to our number, then we are failing in some way. What strikes me about the early church in the Acts of the Apostles is it doesn't seem like they care two hoots whether someone gives their life to Jesus or not. What they care about is living distinctly in the kingdom of God. proclaiming the good news wherever they come. Whether people respond or not, they care that they did it. What people do in response, it's great if they want to join, but it's fine when they don't. Sure, people come. Sure, people are added to their number, and there is great celebration. The people have their eyes opened to see. But in our gospel reading, we see so much growth, which then just falls away. I've had far too many friends and family members who have gone all out for Jesus, who've made the commitment, who've signed the line, who've said the prayer, who've had a reaffirmation of baptismal vows, or even made commitments and been baptized, and they've gone all out for it. And then a few years later, they're avowed atheists. They've burnt out. They no longer come to church. Their commitments have waned, and they have fallen away. It is so heartbreaking. It is so disappointing. It is so painful. Some seed fell on the rocky ground, and because there is no roots, the sun scorched them and they fall away. Is it any need to sow the seed? Yeah, of course, because we do not know the ground on which the seed is sown. We should not need to have results. That is not what we're looking for. What we need to be doing is sowing the seed, praying for the Holy Spirit, praying for the faith of new believers. But just as much as we need to go out and proclaim the good news, we need to be a people who are growing in discipleship, who are deepening our faith, who are putting down roots in the faith, so that no matter what weather, no matter what circumstances befall us, we will continue to grow and will bear fruit, sometimes 100-fold, sometimes 60, and sometimes 30. Here in this passage, Peter doesn't need Simon to sign on the dotted line and to make a commitment. He doesn't need Simon to become a member and to sign himself up on the electoral roll. He doesn't need Simon's money to be donated to the church activities. He doesn't need Simon. He wants him. He desires him to have the transformation of God. And that is why he calls him out. That is why he says, do you know what? This isn't for you at the moment. Your heart is not ready. It is not what we do that is of interest to God. It is how we do it and why we do it. We want to see people come to faith, not just for the sake of them coming to faith and we can tick it off and go, hey, look, aren't we great at evangelism? Aren't we great at making new disciples? Look how many people are coming to faith in St. Peter's Church, Greenhill. No. We want to know that people are coming because we want to see transformation in lives. We want to see transformation in this community so we can see transformation in the world. We want to see people released from bitterness and wickedness, just as Peter wanted to see that in this Simon. We don't want people coming and filling our church for the sake of it, so that we can feel good about ourselves, that we can feel like we're doing something. We want to see people here because they're desperate to meet with Jesus, to be transformed, to feast on his word and on his body in the sacraments, to receive the healing of the Holy Spirit, to receive it as the free gift that it is, not to be manipulated and used. So when we talk about being a growing people, sure, we are more than open to seeing new people come to faith in Jesus Christ, but not at the expense of the proclamation and the living out of the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is our primary focus, to follow Jesus in discipleship, the narrow gate. Because as the Lord said, many are called, but few chosen. Let's pray. Loving God, you do indeed invite, welcome all who turn to you in faith. Help us to seek passion those who are in desperate need of your transforming love and grace. Help us to discern where your Spirit is falling, where lives are being transformed. Help us to walk faithfully the path of discipleship, to live out our faith, to proclaim the good news, to witness to lives transformed. Help us to become a loving, witnessing, and growing people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.